This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Sometimes it seems like it takes a titanic tragedy in order to capture the minds and hearts of a people, whether the American people or the people worldwide. And few catastrophes capture the imagination like a catastrophe at sea. The memory of the sinking of the Titanic in freezing Atlantic waters now spans about four generations, a vivid reminder that despite man's best efforts, his dream of creating the unsinkable ship remains an illusion. And a sinking feeling grips the pit of the stomach as our minds reflect on men and women scrambling frantically for lifeboats that don't exist. But something very similar just happened this week. It was the collapse of a bridge. It was the collapse of a very special bridge. A very special bridge because it was named after the creator of our national anthem and the one who gave us our motto, In God We Trust. His name was Francis Scott Key, a lawyer. And he also had coined those phrases and written those words out there in Baltimore Harbor. That's right. The same place where the ship just crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. What should we make of it? Is there anything that we can learn from this? Is there anything we should learn from this? Is it true, then, that the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history, and those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it? It's hard to just continue to reiterate that, isn't it? But the unthinkable happened to the unsinkable there with the Titanic that we will talk about on April 12th, the memorial day of when the Titanic began its final sinking journey to the bottom of David Jones' locker. But today, in a similar way, we take a look at the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. It's been cut. It cut off ocean routes to the city's major port, is expected to cause severe disruptions to local transport and logistics, producing ripple effects on global supply chains. Just like the Titanic had a ripple effect all over the world, some of the richest people. And it still has a rippling effect to this very day. In fact, it has been said that, in a sense, we were all on the Titanic together. In a sense, we were all on the Titanic together because there was a moral and spiritual symbol there. And that's the reason that that tragedy has echoed now down to our current day. But how about this recent tragedy? The four-lane bridge collapsed on Tuesday after being hit by the Singapore registered container ship Dali, operated by Danish shipping giant Maersk. As a result of the accident, it's being called an accident, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, a large section of the 1.6-mile bridge collapsed into the Patapsco River, with multiple vehicles falling nearly 55 meters, that would be like about 170 feet into the water. That's a long way. It was built in the 1970s. The Francis Scott Key Bridge spans the Patapsco River and is the only passage connecting the U.S. ninth biggest foreign trading port to the ocean. The Port of Baltimore is the country's biggest, busiest maritime terminal for exports of vehicles. According to Maryland Governor Wes Moore, no other port in the country brings in more vehicles than Baltimore, with up to 850,000 cars and light trucks going in and out of its terminal annually. Parts used in vehicle assembly also pass through the port or across the bridge. 10 ships are reportedly stuck inside the port, unable to leave. Nearly 40 ships heading for Baltimore were forced to divert. And our president, Joe Biden, said the bridge is vital to the economy. He noted that the port supports around 15,000 jobs and that over 30,000 vehicles use the bridge each day. But what should we understand from this? What should we understand? Is this a symbol? Is this set to become a symbol for the condition of America, the attacks upon America, and how feeble our current structural situation is? Not just talking about how strong the bridges are, but how about the bridge of our society, supported by two great pillars. What are those two great pillars? Our president, our founding president, George Washington, said the two great pillars of our country are morality and religion. If they go down, the country goes down. So when this ship attacked or hit one of the great pilings of this bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, it came down. One of the key supportive pilings were hit, and the bridge came down. And everybody runs around frantically. What in the world happened? What a tragedy. Indeed, it was a tragedy. Still is a tragedy. But it's also a tragedy what's happening to our entire country. Is this a symbol of what's happening to our entire country? Even WorldTribune.com came out with a headline, "The Destruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, Symbolism, Heroism, and Unanswered Questions." And so I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk that Transforms, friends. And today is no exception. I hope you will make time to listen to the entirety of today's program. I trust that it will touch your heart, maybe your home, maybe your congregation, maybe echo beyond that, because, friends, we have a moment in time. Just like the famous book concerning the Titanic was called A Night to Remember, this also is a night or a morning to remember, because it was Francis Scott Key who, in his national anthem, used the phrase, "by the dawn's early light." By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed. We're not proudly hailing what happened by the dawn's early light in the Baltimore Harbor now, are we? What's happened since the day of Francis Scott Key and our day to where by the dawn's early light doesn't have such a sense of glory anymore? Maybe it's because of the flagging of our flag. Maybe it's because the moral and spiritual pillars of the country are in such disarray that the slight touch will cause the entire country to collapse. I want you to consider those thoughts as we go into this break and come out of it, launching into the deep, my friends. Stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we look at the symbolic importance of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore Harbor and its impact not only for those who lost their lives, but for the millions and millions of people in this country and all over the world are going to experience the repercussions of this event, just as they did of the sinking of the Titanic. Speaking of symbolism, when I wrote the book, Renewing the Soul of America, I had completed the writing of the book, and I just felt that there was something that needed to be said to set the tone for the book so that the readers would be able to capture in their hearts the message of the book, Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, Beginning with You. And I felt inspired to talk about the Statue of Liberty, to personalize the Statue of Liberty, as if the Statue of Liberty itself was speaking from the time that it was conceived of in the eye of the one who created it, invented it, so to speak, and until it actually was set up there in New York Harbor. And so the first chapter of that book is called If I Could Speak. If I could speak, what would the Statue of Liberty say? You see, it is one of the premier symbols of America, of liberty and freedom, if I could speak. So what would the Statue of Liberty say today? You might want to get a copy of the book just to read that chapter, Renewing the Soul of America. You know why? Because a number of people who have read this book have commented to me specifically that when they read that chapter alone, they began to weep. It so gripped their hearts, they began to weep. Because the symbolism of it was so profound, so gripping, that it set the stage for the rest of the book, and in their own hearts, and in their lives. So, the book is called Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, Beginning with You. It's $15 on our website, saveus.org. $15 on our website, saveus.org. You can order it. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Now, the interesting thing is that at the end of that chapter, If I Could Speak, there is a final section called Restoring the Symbol. You see, the Statue of Liberty was decaying. It was in great need of restoration. And the Statue of Liberty, speaking for herself, said, what are they going to allow to happen to me? Are they going to allow me to die? Will this country die as well? As I die, will they die? I thought we were to make the world safe for democracy. And so, the Statue of Liberty cried out, and some very concerned people began to respond. They said it would take nearly near heroic measures to preserve more than $250 million at that time. And so they engaged in the process of investing in the restoration of the symbol, the premier symbol of our country, the Statue of Liberty. But have we allowed the decay in our life, the moral and spiritual decline in our country, to become so serious, so risky to the entire structure of the country, that there's no hope left? Will just the slightest jarring by some event in the country or in the world cause the entire nation to collapse like the Francis Scott Key Bridge? Just asking. Just asking. In my book, Renewing the Soul of America, Chapter 20 is called Changing Course, Can a Nation Shipwreck? Is it possible for a nation to shipwreck? Is it possible for a nation, the United States of America, that was founded to be, in essence, a bridge across the troubled waters of the Atlantic and also the Pacific, to give light to the world through the moral and spiritual foundations of the country. Is it possible that that bridge is in a state of such weakness that it also is in a state of collapse? Just asking. And if America is to correct her course, it would seem then implicit that each one of us individually must correct our course. Just thinking, just asking. And so we take a further look at what's happened with that bridge. The Baltimore mayor, Brandon Scott, called on CNN and other media outlets yesterday to stop showing video footage of the early morning collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Now, why would he do that? I thought it was important to get the news out. Well, I guess it's only important to get the news out if it feels good. Now, the Baltimore mayor rules over one of the most liberal cities in the country, one of the most troubled cities in the country, morally and spiritually, economically, financially. He said no one needs to see a possibility of their family member being severely injured or otherwise over and over and over again. It's just traumatizing. True. But it does get your attention, doesn't it? And that's exactly what he did not want to happen. He did not want more people to have their attention taken to what is happening there because, may I suggest, there is profound symbolism for the entire country. The bridge snapped and collapsed after a cargo ship had supposedly lost propulsion, rammed into one of the steel truss bridge's supports around 1:30 a.m., plunging an unknown number of people and vehicle into the chilly Patapsco River. And the mayor said, "We have an unspeakable tragedy." Really? I agree. The whole nation going down is an unspeakable tragedy. We see it happening right before our eyes. And neither Republican nor Democrat wants to really have any real focus on the real problems that are causing the nation to collapse. Even our pastors largely don't want to focus on it because it doesn't prove to make their people feel good at the moment. Well, Jesus didn't feel very good on the cross, I don't think. In fact, he didn't feel very good as he made his way to the cross. They're agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating great drops of blood. But he knew that he had to go through that in order that you and I might have hope in the future. And our whole nation depends upon that. Did you know that? Our whole nation doesn't depend on the economy by itself. Our nation doesn't depend upon the whether or not how great the dollar is or not. It doesn't depend on the crime statistics or not. It depends upon whether we're living moral and spiritually driven lives in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was good news, so that indeed all the other things in the nation would work accordingly. In other words, we would be able to prosper, even as our soul prospers. But we're not prospering. In many respects, our churches are not prospering. In fact, many of the pastors don't want their people to hear about the reality of our times, do not want the people to know that Jesus is coming soon, do not want the people to know that they're going to have to correct course. Right? Was George Washington right when he said that the great pillars upon which this nation stands are morality and religion, and that without these, the nation will have no hope for the future? Where does that leave us? The mayor of Baltimore said, never would you think that you would see, physically see, the Key Bridge tumble down like that. Well, that's what they said about the Titanic. It was even reported that people said even God couldn't sink the Titanic. We'll talk more about that on April 12th. You don't want to miss that program, assuming that April 12th is Monday through Friday somewhere. But we'll get it in there. A serious talk about the Titanic and its implications for you, for me, for our time, for our country, and so on. Now, Joe Biden says that he's driven over that. He's ridden over that bridge many times. He's even ridden a train across that bridge many times. The only problem is there's never been a train track on that bridge. Ever. Apparently, our president's memory is as faulty as the memory of the rest of we the people, who cannot remember that the two great pillars of this country were morality and religion, and without them, our government can't even function. Isn't that what John Adams said? The second president of the United States, he said our government was made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. You see, all it takes is a few jostling of the pillars of America and the whole country falls apart. What kind of a tragedy do you think that would look like? Do you think we might be on the near edge of such a thing? Do you think it could happen sort of impromptu, like what happened to the bridge? Totally unsuspecting to the majority of the people? And yet the Titanic going down was not totally unsuspecting. Did you know that? For one thing, we will learn more about what the captain did. Oh, he wasn't careful at all. He said, we're indestructible. Go through the icebergs. It doesn't matter what the problems are. We can put extreme danger in this boat. It won't even sink. We can go to full speed ahead. And that's what Mr. Biden's trying to tell us. You could do whatever you want to do. We worship democracy. We don't worship the God who made and preserved us a nation. We worship democracy. We worship the people. Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was God. I thought it was in God we trust. Isn't that what Francis Scott Key said? In God we trust. Oh, thus be it e'er when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the war-torn land bless the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And then and only then will the star-spangled banner continue to wave o'er the land of the free. In the home of the brave. That's why we're becoming increasingly the home of the brave rather than the land of the free. And we have begun to redefine freedom according to people doing what they want to do, no matter what God says they ought to do. And so the bridge of this country is so desperately weakened that we are on verge of total collapse. Will a presidential election change all of that? Not unless the hearts of the people change. Not unless the hearts of the people change. I remember back a few years ago when the founder of the Christian Coalition, Ralph Reed, left. He left the leadership, and Pat Robertson selected new leadership. And we'll talk about that new leadership when we get back. And what they said really relates by reference to our country as a bridge across the troubled waters of the world. What's about to happen?
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
It was at least 15 years ago now that the leadership of the Christian Coalition was changed. And two new leaders were put in, Don Hodel and Randy Tate. Don Hodel and Randy Tate were willing to speak the truth. They were not just interested in raising money. They were interested in truly seeing our nation change. Not just talking about it. Not just electing people, but in seeing real change from the inside out to protect the very infrastructure of the country, not the mechanical infrastructure, not the bridges and roadways, but the hearts of the people. So they made this statement. If we were to fill all of the elective offices of this country with professing Christians, the type of people that we currently have in our country claiming to be professing Christians, if we were to fill all of those elective offices with those people, America would still not change. Why? They said, because America will only change when the hearts of the people change. When they said that, they were fired. Why? Because that was saying, well, that wasn't saying a nice thing to raise money. That was saying, you're actually addressing the people that we want to give us money, and you're saying you're part of the problem, therefore, we're going to remove you. We want you to just tell the people what they want to hear. Are you listening? You see, you can't put Band-Aids on the infrastructure, and you can't just do it by elections. If you think that we can bow to the shrine of democratic government as the sole underpinning for the safety and future of our country, you are living in a world of horrific idolatry. I mean, as Francis Scott Key said in his national anthem, God is the one who made and preserved us a nation. Who made and preserved us a nation. My very, very first book was taken from Francis Scott Key's words. It was called Preserve Us a Nation. This all happened by the dawn's early light. The two great pillars, morality and religion, are at terrifying risk. I remember Simon and Garfunkel's piece, Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Friends, the waters of our world are terrifyingly troubled. But America is no longer capable of bridging over those troubled waters with spiritual truth because we have abandoned it in our own country. We have not taken care of the moral and spiritual infrastructure of the country, and everything else is in massive decay. Anybody listening today? So if we ask the question, can a nation shipwreck, the answer is absolutely, and many nations have. Captain Michael Burns of the Maritime Center for Responsible Energy was talking about what it takes to bring a ship like this into harbor. He said it's one of the most technically challenging and demanding things we do. He said, when a ship loses propulsion, then it loses steering. Then it's really at the mercy of the wind and the current. Now, friends, I would like for you to listen very carefully. By analogy, when a country such as America loses its moral and spiritual propulsion, which is the driving force of the country, not the economy, as Bill Clinton said, it's his lack of morality and faith that got him into so much trouble. It's not the economy, stupid. Now, the majority of Americans may think that because we've abandoned the very foundations of the country. In many respects, from the church house to the White House to the schoolhouse to the courthouse and so on. That's why we're in the very mess that we're in. This nation, which is seen to be a spiritual bridge over the troubled waters of the world to pass the gospel on to across the seven seas to the seven continents, is in desperate trouble. And the rest of the world sees it, and they see the current leadership of our country intentionally weakening that bridge to the point of near collapse. And the world itself is in a place of desperation because of that. When a ship loses propulsion, our nation is losing propulsion. There has to be a proper fuel. And the great fuel of this country was illustrated by none other than a secular French observer by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville. He came over here in 1830 to try to figure out what it was that made America great. What was it that made America tick? What was it that set America apart and aside from all the rest of the countries of the world, including France, that had had a revolution at near the same time? They said it was for liberty, equality, and fraternity, and they had neither liberty nor equality nor fraternity. How is it that America is making it? So for 9 months, he allowed the seeds of America to grow in the spiritual womb of his heart. And after 9 months, it was ready to give birth. It gave birth to a book called Democracy in America. And among other things, Alexis de Tocqueville, a secular observer, made this observation. I looked at all the great infrastructure. I looked at all the natural resources. It was amazing, like no other country on earth. But it was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understood the secret of her genius and power. In other words, her propelling force. And what does that do? When we lose that, well, it's like Captain Michael Burns said, you're now at the mercy of the wind and the current. You're just at the mercy. You're going to be turned around by virtually every pressure, every force that comes along, whether it comes from Russia, China, ISIS, Hamas, the UN, you're going to be turned by just about any force that comes along, and just the slightest force is going to dump you into the icy waters of history. A senior executive at the company that employed the crew, Browner Builders, that was working up on top of the bridge during the night, said this was so completely unforeseen. Well, maybe it was, but maybe it wasn't. From our standpoint, we think that if something really bad happens to America, that was completely unforeseen because nothing bad could possibly happen to America. After all, we are America the unsinkable. That's how we think. And we don't want to think anything else because, like the mayor of Barlamar said, don't tell us any more about the news about this bridge and all that. We don't want to hear it. Make us feel good. Hmm. a Catholic priest was spending time with some of the families of the missing workers, and he said, you can see the pain etched on their faces. Well, obviously, can you see the pain etched on the faces of people all across this country, the untold millions of mothers and fathers who are losing their kids? Can you see the pain etched on their faces? Can you see the pain etched on the faces of the people who are losing their homes to people coming in and intentionally taking them over, having been welcomed into the nation by a president that was supposed to be controlling the borders and decided to let in all the renegades that he wanted in order to increase his power and position? Yes, we can see the pain etched on their faces. That's what happens when tragedies occur. It's interesting. The ship that hit the pilings was owned by, get this, Grace Ocean Private Limited. Grace. Unmerited favor, enabling power, Ocean Private Limited. You know what God says? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, America, is made perfect in your weakness, but you gotta come alongside what I'm doing. You gotta let me correct your infrastructure, because the pillars of your country are near collapse, and the slightest force of any ship coming out of the night is going to bring you down. Yes, there's symbolism here. Huge symbolism. Now, what's interesting is the FBI said there's no credible evidence of terrorism, but how did the ship lose power? Was its navigational system impacted? What are the infrastructural and commercial implications of the disaster? Watching the video, said Scott McKay, of that ship hitting the Francis Scott Key Bridge, it sure doesn't look like an accident. The ship makes an extremely sharp starboard turn and then straightens out, and right before hitting the stanchion dead on, if it was a pilot error, that ship would have been turning as it hit the bridge, he said. The container ship sent out a mayday warning that it had lost power before the disaster. Has America sent out a mayday warning yet? Any of our leaders? Anybody? We'll be right back, friends.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It happened by the dawn's early light, my friends. The bridge collapsed in the early morning. Fortunately, there weren't too many people there on the bridge. Otherwise, it would have been an even more tragic disaster. But let's take a look at these moral and spiritual pillars of our country. Where does this stand? Just taking a few articles that came out just today, let's just take a look at this inspect ourselves and do a little diagnostic investigation here. Jill Biden, the wife of the putative president, Joe Biden, says in a campaign stop, she's compared the conservative desire to rid public schools of gay porn and have the schools focus on educational basics like reading, history, writing, and math to Nazism. That's right. That's what she did. She said, your rights are being stripped away. Freedoms are eroding. More and more state laws are passed. History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say a gay law, she continued. Oh, so she's actually promoting the tearing down of one of the two great pillars of our country. She and her husband, directly, openly, notoriously, egregiously, and without shame, doing everything that they can to tear down the moral and spiritual infrastructure of the country. In the name of democracy. Now, let's put this in perspective. If you go back to, for instance, you go back to after our country was formed, Robert Winthrop. He said, we will either be governed by a power within our hearts or by a power outside, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. What Joe and Jill Biden are doing is the putative leaders of our country are actually stripping away the authority of the Bible intentionally, which means the people will increasingly be ruled by the bayonet. Now, do you think that's promoting true democracy? No. If indeed John Adams was correct when he said our government was made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other, then we have to understand that when we do anything to erode those two great pillars of morality and religion, we are necessarily destroying the democratic form of the government because it's built on the fact that we are moral and Christian people. It's not based upon the absolute authority of human beings. That's the reason why our founders rejected absolute democracy. They thought it was one of the most dangerous forms of government you could ever have. Because if the people were not walking in the word, the will, and the ways of the Lord, they would be tyrannical and rule over everybody else, and there would be no hope for freedom. So they gave us a democratic republic. As Benjamin Franklin said, if you can keep it. We're in the role of the big if right now, friends. Interestingly enough, from Israel National News, today came this. It's a podcast, and the title was Democrat America Falling to Pieces. Democrat America Falling to Pieces. And what do you do when the Washington governor, Jay Inslee, this week signed into law a stripper's rights bill, granting statewide workers protections to adult dancers in the Evergreen State? And how about California judges now being required, those who handle child abuse and neglect cases, to take a special training course on LGBTQ issues, which pressures them as judges to question whether parents who refuse to use their children's preferred pronouns should lose custody of their children. And this is supposed to be promoting democracy? No, this is stripping away the foundations of democracy because the family is at the very foundation of a true democratic republic. And then, today, Mr. Biden considering amnesty and green cards for illegals. In other words, he wants to give amnesty to all the people that he welcomed into the country illegally as a means of supposedly solving the problem, the infrastructure problem of our country that he himself has created intentionally. And if we go to our northern border, which is kind of like we have Baja down there at the south, Baja, Mexico, the south of California, and now we have not Baja, but we have Canada in our northern border. Well, here's Canada. The Canadian government has become so radical in its hatred and destruction of freedom for anyone who would claim biblical morality and biblical authority that they have to be canceled out of Canadian culture. As reflected by this article, Canada cancels female scholar who believes in biological sex. They just deplatformed a sociology professor for her views on biological sex. In other words, that wasn't acceptable. She says, why do we need data on sex and gender identity? And for that, they canceled her and denied her the honorarium for speaking. Pretty shocking, but not so much, because actually Canada is taking a more rapid lead than even Joe Biden in tearing down the moral and spiritual structures of the country. This is not a game, my friends. We're looking at something that's very serious. A lawyer, former U.S. Attorney General Matthew Whitaker, was talking about the bridge and its collapse on a radio program called Wake Up America. But then he said, clearly it looks like an accident. Well, it depends on what angle you're looking at, I guess. People think that the whole country is going down as an accident. No, it's going down intentionally. The people are taking the country down, and we're electing people who want to do so. Are you one of them? Look, God has no grandchildren, only children. And if we're not raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not just by going to church, friends, but by actually taking the time to disciple them intentionally, day by day, week by week, month by month, until they reach 18, we're failing. We're doing the same thing that our government is doing in the rest of the country. We're just not doing our job. And we're actually becoming co-participants in the demise of the country. So if you want to get all excited about electing a new president that will do something, maybe you should start. Maybe we should start in our own homes by doing what God has for us to do. You say, well, that's not going to change anything very fast. No. Do you think that this country has deteriorated quickly? No. What we're experiencing is the result of 70 years plus of deterioration, and now we find the pillars of the country so deteriorated, so weakened, because we've done nothing about it. And the pulpits of America have given us sweet nothings and pablum for 40 to 50 years to try to build churches instead of building people and disciples. This is where we are. What are we going to do about it? Well, it's interesting. Laura Logan, who a lot of people don't want to listen to because she happens to tell a lot of truth that people don't want to hear, she said the bridge collapse is called absolutely brilliant strategic attack. She's an investigative journalist, posted an alarming message concerning the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, indicating multiple intelligence sources say the disaster was an, quote, absolutely brilliant strategic attack, unquote, on U.S. critical infrastructure. She said multiple intel sources said the Baltimore Bridge collapse was absolutely brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructure. Most likely, cyber and our intel agencies know it. In information warfare terms, they just divided the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line, exactly like the Civil War, she said. The second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazardous material is now down for 4 to 5 years. The bridge was built specifically to move hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane, gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo that cannot fit in the tunnels. And that supply chain is now crippled. Make no mistake, this was an extraordinary attack in terms of planning, timing, and execution, she said. The two critical components on that bridge are the two load-bearing pylons on each end, closest to the shore. They're bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points, and they knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the integrity of the bridge. So half a mile of bridge went into the river. The attack was perfectly targeted. The footage shows the cargo ship never got to the approach lane in the channel. Location was precise and deliberate. Chose a bend in the river where you have to slow down and commit yourself. And once you're committed in that area, there's not enough room to maneuver. When you choke off Baltimore, you have cut the main north-south hazardous corridor, I-95, in half. And now you have to go around the city or go somewhere else. A viewpoint. What say you? Was it an accident? Or was it an intentionality to it? And if so, what was the goal? To weaken the country? To make us more susceptible to a new world order, the great reset that's being promised for 2030, to cause the American people to fall into such a economic doldrum that they're willing to do just about anything, and in fact, embrace a antichrist figure to come in and save them? I don't know. But what I do know is that we have allowed the two great pillars of this country, whether you want to call them pylons or pillars, morality and religion, to be completely undermined. And our churches are largely at fault. The very place and the very people that were to shed light, glaring light, on the problems in the country have failed to do so in order to try to make people feel better. I've got tears in my eyes, friends. I really do. To encourage yourself, though, get a copy of my book, Renewing the Soul of America. It will encourage you. $15 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. There's a reason why. You might want to find out why. God bless. Be a blessing. Be the blessing that you want others to be. God bless. And again, be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.